So for that beautiful song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Great message in that song, a great message. Well, I managed to get Carol an outline for today. I did not fully have it developed with everything going on, but I managed to get that done, and I've been working diligently since I've been home to prepare this message for today. And it is one that Peter and Paul and many, well, in the Old Testament as well as the New, talks about the sureness of Christ's return, that he will be coming back. And I've been preaching several messages from 1st and 2nd Peter, and this particular one this morning is from 2 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 7. But after I was studying this and realized that I did come up with three points to share with you, but I'm just going to share two of them today, okay? So I got those two developed, and I think hopefully I will hopefully serve the time well with just these two points this morning. So if you will look with me, I will read verses 1 through 7 of chapter 3 of 2 Peter, and that will give us a good understanding of the purpose of this letter. This letter is a reminder of Peter going back to chapter 1 and chapter 2, and then carrying his subject on here in chapter 3. So it doesn't hurt for any of us to be reminded of something that's been said, that's been previous, that is important for us to know and understand and apply to our lives. So Peter is giving us the purpose of this letter. And then in verse 3, he tells us that the Lord is coming again. And the things that will occur in this world of the mocking and scoffing of God's word, and you know, we're beginning, and we have seen this already in our society, the moral corruption that is taking place. And it lines right up with the prophecy that the prophets talked about and the apostles here in the New Testament. So as you read, if you read the Word of God daily, you will understand day by day by day God's prophecy being fulfilled. I see it every day. I see it. And when I read this passage of Scripture, I realized, yes, Peter is right on. He knew, and that's why he wrote the words that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is inspired, and God breathed. And he breathed the word to these apostles and the prophets that we might know too, and make preparations in our life that when he does come, or when we meet him face to face, whichever one takes place, then we will fully understand that the Word of God is all truth, is all truth. So, all right, that's part of my introduction, so follow along with me as I read. I don't have it on the screen, but just follow along if you have your Bibles. But I will put it up later on the ones I'll be covering, 1 through 4. So, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This is now, beloved, the second letter. See, he's telling us this is the second letter, 2 Peter. I am writing to you, which I am stirring up your sincere mind. So, he's stirring us up. He's wanting us to listen. He's wanting us to take this serious. By the way of reminder. See, he's reminding us of what he's already stated in chapter 1 and chapter 2. Verse 2 says that you should remember the word spoken beforehand by the holy prophets, that's the Old Testament, and the commandment of the Lord and the Savior spoken by your apostles in the New Testament. So you see the combination of the prophets and the apostles, they all agree with one another because they all got the same revelation from the Heavenly Father, God Almighty. So he said, I want to remind you, this is a remind you, I want to stir you up, I want to get your attention so you won't be caught off guard or caught by surprise. So now he begins to say the coming of the day is sure. The coming of the Lord is sure. Verse 3, know this, he says, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust. And we see that today in our society, in our world. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? Just like the day of Noah. For ever since the father fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. You get that? Peter's taking us all the way back to who? Adam and Eve, the sin in the garden. For when they maintain this, it escapes your notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. He's talking about Noah. But by his word, this is the last verse, but by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, this next time, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. That's the society I'm talking about, that Peter is talking about here. As the world progressed through the prophecy and to the end times, that's what's going to be taking place in verse 7. So, let's look at our title and scriptures, and there's other scriptures there that you can read about. In the beginning was God's word, and without God there was, you know, no beginning. And then Luke also chapter 17. But in this particular scriptures here, we want to look at verse 1 and 2 first of all. God's revelation in the last days. So if you want to read further about the revelation of God, and in Revelation it said nothing will be added or taken from the Word of God. That means if you try to add to it or take away from it, there's judgment, there's penalty for anyone or the world or any people to try to do that. And God's revelation in the last days, Peter begins his message of love, encouragement, by speaking to believers with gentle and enduring language. See, this is a language not of his own, but it's the language that the Heavenly Father, our God, breathed to these apostles to write down. You know, if you read, in the beginning, when you start reading Revelations, It says that this is being given to you. Listen to my words. Listen to the Spirit. And that's how Revelation, and that's what Peter is saying right here. So in verse 1, it says, This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by the way of reminder. That's the verse I read a while ago. Now, Peter addresses his readers as beloved or loved ones. Don't fail me now. Oh, it's just gone. All right, we'll carry on. Electronics don't always work. That's about as simple as, well, it did now. But that's not where I need to be. All right, it's still not going to work. So, all right, okay. So, this means that we are loved by God, and that we've loved by those who love God. So, if we love God, and we do, we're loved by those who love God, and that's very important for us. And Peter is pointing that out to us this morning. So Peter called this epistle his second letter, which it is, his second letter, and said both letters are reminders. The first Peter, second Peter, both, he's saying, are reminders to us. And just like Jesus, when he said, you take this bread, you take this cup in remembrance of me. When Jesus said that, he said it because it's important. We don't need to forget the sacrifice that Jesus paid on Calvary for our sins. So he wanted us to remember that. He paid the big price. So in order for us to prepare ourselves for the future and see the promises that are going on within this world today, then Peter is saying we need to be reminded, we need to be refreshed in our mind so we will understand and will not be caught by surprise when we see all of these things prevailing before us. So when you see things happening and you see what Peter is talking about here in his word this morning in the scriptures I just read, then you won't be caught by surprise. You will say, yes, the scriptures are true. You know, I'm glad I'm not a mocker or a scoffer of God's word, because those that are and do, they will see judgment. They will be severely judged one of these days unless they change their mind, they change their heart, and repent of their sins and accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Now, this second letter was written, as Peter said, to stir the believers' soul and spirit. Not just our mind, because everything goes through our mind before it goes through our soul and spirit. But this is where it should wind out and change our life. You know, sometimes, you know, we think about it in our mind, but until it goes to the heart and it takes root, it will not change us. And that's why the world is in the shape that it's in today, because they think about it, well, and they try to logic and reason with it. This don't sound right. You know, the Word of God, you know, it was written long, long time ago and didn't apply to us today. Well, it does. So they're reasoning in their mind, but not with their heart. So that's what Peter is talking about. So the stirring up occurs in those with a, what? There it is, sincere mind. That's probably the only thing you're going to be able to see because it quit working. But sincere mind, that means it's not a false mind or it's not a made-up mind, but it's a mind sincerely focused upon the Word of God, because God inspired it to be written, He breathed it, and therefore we are to take it sincerely with our mind and apply it in our heart and in our soul. So it can be rendered also as wholesome thinking or pure disposition. So the English word or for sincere is the Latin word sincera. Sincera, and many of you that took Latin may understand what that is, but which means literally without wax. Okay, without wax. Did you know that? You that took Latin? Okay, to better explain this, I don't know why I'm holding that, but to better explain this, Some people who made pottery years ago, they would hold it up to the sunlight and to see if it had any cracks or flaws in it. Well, if it did, in order to cover it up, they would take wax and seal it over. And the only way that anyone else know there was a crack or flaw in that pottery, the only way that you can detect it is hold it up to the sun, and you would see it that way. Well, what God wants His people is to be honestly judging their lives in the light of His Word instead of waxing over their sin spots. Because if we hold ourselves up to the sun, and I'm not talking about S-U-N, I'm talking about S-O-N, you know, our spots will be noticed, right? So we can't wax them over. We cannot wax any of our sin spots over, because they were detected by Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. So that's very important for us to know, and that's what that Latin word sincera means, wax over. So we don't want to wax anything over. We want to be pure vessels for the Lord God in our lives and in our living. So in verse 2, we are again reminded of the need to remember the Word and what it has taught us. What it has taught us. And maybe who has taught us from the Word. When we were young, I remember my grandfather and my mother used to sit with me and explain scriptures and so forth. And when I spoke on behalf of my mother this past Wednesday and a week before that, you know, she explained salvation to me. She sat me down and helped me better understand, well, you know, what salvation meant, the atonement of Jesus Christ, and why He died for our sins, so I would know that was for me as well. So when I'm talking about the being taught by the Word of God and so forth, that's what verse 2 is talking about. Reminder, and Peter says that you should remember the words spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ spoken by the prophets. So the basic source right here for believers' knowledge of God and His work among mankind is the holy words, or what I would say, scriptures. That's what Peter's talking about. God would have us to center our faith upon the scriptures which He has both given and recorded for us right here. So, all matters for Christians' faith and practice are found right here in God's holy word. It is all right here for us to hold, behold, and have. So, we are therefore called upon once again to remember the words that God has spoken to us. That's what Peter's saying. Remember. I want to remind you. I want to stir you up. That's what Paul said to Timothy. Stir up the gift within you. Guard it with all your heart, soul, and mind, so that nothing can take it away from you. Nothing can intervene between you and God, and you're living for Him. Now, also in that verse, in verse 2, it talks about the command of our Lord and Savior. And it refers to the teaching of Jesus, which being proclaimed by the apostles. Also, Paul talks about that in Jude verse 17 as well. There's only one chapter, and verse 17 of Jude. But also, Paul talks about it also in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. And this is what Paul has to say, Ephesians 2:20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, there you go, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. He is the true foundation. So, anytime the prophets and the apostles say that Jesus Christ is a cornerstone, then we can rest assured that that he is. And that's why Jesus told Peter, on this rock I will build my church. And he didn't say I'm building it on you, Peter, but on this rock, the rock of Christ Jesus being the cornerstone, the firm foundation. And then the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The world will not prevail against it. No one will ever prevail or take over control of God's church, of God's word. It will endure to the end. And we can trust the sayings of the scriptures on that. So, the unity of scripture is also pictured by referring to both the holy prophets in the Old Testament and the apostles in the New Testament. So because Peter places his writings alongside of those, the prophets and the apostles, and he was an apostle, he called himself, Paul called himself an apostle, he was chosen by Christ. So anyone chosen by Christ who proclaimed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is absolute when it comes from God's word. No matter who the spokesman is, he's speaking the truth. It is a firm foundation. Now, let's look at the second part here, B part, verses 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, well, God's word is true, okay? That's what the outline says here. God's word is true. In verse 3, I want to make sure you understand where I'm going here on this. This verse is critical. It's a critical warning to believers of the scoffers that will come towards the close of what I would call human history. And it is a warning to believers to take heed. That's why Peter says, I want to stir you up. I want you to remember the things that's spoken in God's word, because it is a prophecy and it is going to happen just as it's written. So I want us to understand that this morning. We need to be alert to the readings of God's word when it says, listen, our as a reminder. So verse 3 says, knowing this, first of all, that in the last days, we're living in the last days. I'm not saying today's the last day or tomorrow or next week or 6 months from now, but we're living, if you look at the whole scope of history, past, present, future, and in the 70 weeks that Daniel talks about, we're in the last days. And, well, just as a reminder, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day to the Lord, right? So there's no time with God. So with us, we look at one day sometime as a year because it goes so slow. But with God, you know, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day to the Lord. So therefore, no matter how you look at it, in 1,000 years or one day, we're living in the last days. Now, the apostles, they thought they were living in the last days as well. Well, Maybe that was the beginning, but as we see and read the scriptures, and it tells us about the 70 weeks and the things that's taking place, and when you go to Revelation chapter 3 and read about the Laodicean church, which we are the Laodicean church, then we're living in the last days. So we should be alert to that. We should understand that, you know, the Lord can come anytime. So as we look at this, the great watershed that divides mankind into two groups is those who accept the revelation of this book or those who reject it. So there's two groups. Those who accept it, you and I accept it, right? Amen? I accept every word in this, in God's word. I accept it. I believe it. I have faith in it. I trust it with all of my life. If it ever comes down to the point that I had to deny the word of God before any enemy or anything, I will not do that because I know it's true. So, first of all means above all, okay? First of all, that's what Peter's saying, above all. And also, if you go back to chapter 1 and look at verse 20, it says above all, calling the attention to the matter of the foremost importance. And it's critical to know that in the last days, Paul says that all of the apostles say that, that Jesus says that in the gospel, there will be mockers of God's truth. In the last days, they will not only reject God's word, they will mock it, just as they mocked Christ when he was on the cross. They mocked him. Was it false? Was anything false about Christ? No. It all came true. And the word of God is still true as then, and it is true today. So this scoffing at God's truth is the expected course that this world system would take. One heresy leading to another, drawing mankind further away from God Almighty. That's what skeptics do. That's what false teachers do. And don't listen to them. If you read and study your Bible, you'll know the difference between false and truth. Sometimes they'll take it and twist it so much it's believable. But if you know what the Word of God says about anything, right and wrong, you as a Christian will know the difference. You will know the difference. So in closing this morning, it may seem that God is remote. It might seem that he has clicked the stop button on, as we do on our TV remote or whatever remote we have, that he is not very involved in creation. But he is. However, it would be a big mistake to arrive at this conclusion if this world arrived at this conclusion. As Peter is saying here in verse 4, judgment day is as certain as the day that follows night. There's going to be day, there's going to be night. Jesus says in John chapter 4 that work while the while there is day, because night is coming, that no man will work. That's what he says. In John chapter 4, I believe that's verse 4. Vicki, don't hold me to it, but you look it up. But Jesus says, that work while there is day. What does he mean by working? He means be out there witnessing, be out there serving, be out there doing something for God. Be my witnesses. Be fishers of men. Do my commandment. Love the Lord my God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's the first and greatest commandment. And then the second greatest commandment, Jesus says, is to love one another as I love you. So that's what we are to be doing. So Judgment Day is coming, just as certain as day follows night. There's a beginning and there is an end to all things as determined by the unchanging will of the Almighty God. You've heard the statement, all good things come to an end. You've heard that statement. Well, that is true, isn't it? You're having so much fun, and then the fun is over. Then you got to go home, or things change, and you do something else. But there is a beginning. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. In the end, there will be destructions of the world of those who oppose God. But believers, they will be protected, saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, people should not be casual about their ungodly behavior. And I want to leave you with this. The righteousness of God demands righteousness from those who have been created in His image. We are created in His image. Now, His image means the characteristics of God. I mean, we're not a spiritual being like God Almighty. But when it says that we are made in His image, that's how His intention was for us to become and imitate the righteousness and the holiness in our living for Him. That's what the characteristics, that's what means made in the image of Christ. Because He made us spiritual beings. Our soul goes to be with the Lord. Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Our body is laid to rest. It decays, goes back to dust. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. But our spirit goes on living. It never dies. Never will ever die. It will live forever, either with Him or with Satan. If we here today, and I trust that all of us here today know Him personally, that we have a place with Him, that our dwelling place will be heaven, and dwelling means to settle down and be at home with the Lord. No other place like heaven. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your blessings. Lord, we thank You for Your precious word. We thank You for Peter, who persevered through all the hardships and trials and the mockers and scoffers of his day. And it didn't stop him from writing the truth. And we read Your word today, and we believe it, and we know it is true. And it should change our life. And we should be reminded. We should be doers of Your word and not just hearers only. We should be readers of Your word and just not silent. There's so many things that we can read in this world, but nothing more precious than Your word. And I pray that each and every one of us will make a commitment today that we will be more involved in reading Your word and seeking the truth, and so that we won't be caught off guard from the things that are prevailing before us in this world, that we know, okay, yes, I read about that. The scriptures is true. This is happening right before our very eyes. So Lord, You don't put these things in your holy word to scare us. You put them in there so that we will know Your righteousness, and those who don't believe You know Your judgment. And we have nothing to fear because we belong to You. Lord, whatever this invitation calls us to do, whatever decision it calls us to make, may we do it this day. I praise You and I thank You in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.